to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry, who is hopefully enjoying that honeymoon of hers right now.
She texted me on Monday.
You haven't heard from her since?
No, which is good.
That is good. That is good. I saw her. She tweeted at me on Monday when she saw I was hosting the show, and I said, "No, no Twitter on vacation."
Exactly.
Get out of here. Go get drunk.
Go do honeymoony things.
That's right. So we just had a great segment with Greg May of 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin talking about I-94 expansion. We have guest after guest with us today. We have a great lineup, and we're going to be joined for the next half hour by Anthony Trigoski of the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. We're going to be talking about Western Wisconsin and the midterms. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dan.
So, we had a pretty important congressional election in your part of the state. What happened?
Well, Dan, the longtime Congressman Ron Kind had opted to retire. He had the closest election of his career in 2020 against Republican challenger Derek Van Orden. And this time around, Ron Kind opted not to run for re-election. It pitted the Democrat Brad Paff, who is a state senator in the La Crosse area, against Derek Van Orden, who is making another run for this particular congressional seat. And many Democrats had written off this district. And in fact, Brad Paff had been kind of left out to dry, you could say, by the Democratic Party. The House Majority PAC, the main super PAC on the Democratic Party's side, had $1.7 million of ad reservations for this district. They canceled that. The DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the main campaign arm of the Democratic Party at the national level, did not get involved at all. There was no spending in the third district here in Western Wisconsin by the DCCC. So the party, the affiliated political action committees were completely missing in action on the Democratic Party's side. It made political observers like me think, well, I mean, in their internal polling must just be brutal for the Democrats if they are sitting this one out, if they have thrown in the towel so clearly. Fast forward to election day, and it is a 4-point margin of victory for Derek Van Orden, leading to a lot of those what ifs, Dan. What if the Democrats had been able to match the Republican spending? I mean, the Republicans, Van Orden and his party and the affiliated PACs, had just an enormous spending advantage in this congressional race. It was about a 4-to-1 spending advantage in favor of the Republicans. So all told, a massive spending advantage on the Republican Party side in this district to replace Ron Kind, a massive spending advantage, but not a massive margin of victory.
Yeah, it seemed like this was a real missed opportunity for the Democrats in this one. And Ron Kind has held this seat for, what, 2 decades before he announced his retirement? And to let this seat go just seems like such a misfire. And especially the case considering the candidate that the Republicans were running in this race, Derek Van Orden, seemed like the type of MAGA Republican who underperformed across the country in these midterm elections. You know, we saw so many of these, very Trump style Republicans not do well. We saw more of the moderate type of Republicans. I'm thinking of like Mike DeWine in Ohio, who won by like 25% as more of a moderate. The Van Orden style, I mean, he was on the Capitol grounds on January 6th, and it seems like the type of Republican who could have been vulnerable in this election cycle. But I mean, how did they miss this? I don't understand.
Dan, I think what, as a political scientist, I often wonder is, how much do candidates matter? That's been a really interesting question in political science over the past few election cycles. With intense partisanship and the enormous political divide in this country, the notion had been more and more that candidates don't really matter, that voters just vote the party line. And you can put a potted plant with an R next to its name on the ballot and a potted plant with a D next to its name, and you'll get basically the same results as you would with anyone on the ballot. So the political science of this is that candidates seem seem to not matter all that much in recent elections. I think what had been unanticipated on the Democratic side was that there would be those individual candidate effects, that voters would look carefully at the candidates to a greater extent than perhaps in the past. They would look at the pros and cons of each candidate. As you said, Dan, there were some interesting features of Derek Van Orden's background that really did feed into the narrative that Brad Pfaff wanted to go about portraying in this particular election. Brad Pfaff really hinged his campaign on the issues of abortion and on January 6th. And it fed into a narrative that Derek Van Orden is extreme, that he's not your typical Republican, that he's not a more maybe mainstream Republican like a Mike DeWine, for example, as you mentioned in Ohio. All told, that did seem to have an effect on the voters. So I think there might have been a data gaffe, you know, where this just wasn't showing up in the internal numbers that the Democratic Party had. They may have not anticipated that voters would vote the candidates and not just vote the party. Whatever the case, this was a big miss by the Democrats. I mean, you look at the margin, Dan, for the Republicans in the House of Representatives. A few additional seats for the Democratic Party could have given them the majority. This is one that they are going to be shaking their head at and think those what if questions. It is a real what if type election. What if the Democrats had taken this race more seriously? What if they had put more resources in this election? We'll never know, but it was just a whiff by the Democrats.
Anthony, at least from my perspective, it didn't seem like Van Orden spent any time talking to people or his potential constituents. He spent a lot of time talking to big donors.
Yeah, Jay. So when it comes to Derek Van Orden, he is an interesting candidate. He's one of the more interesting candidates that I think emerged during this particular election cycle. Steve Gunderson really spoke to this quite well in an interview with WKOW in Madison. Steve Gunderson is a moderate Republican who held this seat prior to Ron Kind. So Gunderson kind of left office in the 1990s, pretty middle of the road Republican. And that's been kind of the tradition in Western Wisconsin, that we value these middle of the road type candidates, and that people in Western Wisconsin do tend to vote the candidate more than the party, that we do have that kind of independent spirit and enjoy moderation in our candidates. And so Gunderson said that Van Orden's style is very different than the style that he had as a Republican representative for this region. For example, Steve Gunderson said, "I really wanted the newspapers to endorse me. I really wanted to do local media. I really wanted to debate because he said that he just needed to get his message out there. He needed to battle for every single vote because he knows that the people in this district are kind of independent-minded, and that, hey, if you interact with the voters, if you meet the voters where they are, if you go to the pancake breakfast, if you do debates, if you talk to the local journalists, you might be able to flip some votes. And so Gunderson made a very intriguing observation about how Van Orden's style was quite different than his own style. Though both are Republicans, we can say that they're quite different types of Republicans.
We're joined here by Anthony Chergosky, who is the political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. We are talking about the race in the 3rd Congressional District, which was won by Derek Van Orden. You know, Western Wisconsin in general is such an interesting swing part of the state. You know, it was kind of emerged as a big national talking point as, you know, part of those Obama-Trump voters that we heard about in 2016. People who were, you know, Obama did exceptionally well in that part of the state and kind of the driftless region of the Midwest in general. With him off the ballot, things have changed quite a bit. You know, what do you make of some of the big picture forces that are driving that change in Western Wisconsin?
Certainly, Dan, we have that rural-urban divide just like every other part of Wisconsin, and I think it's a big part of the politics here. Certainly, we don't have the big cities of Milwaukee and Madison, but when you look at La Crosse, when you look at Eau Claire, heck, when you even look at Stevens Point, you do see some promising signs for the Democrats. I mean, those parts of the district really did deliver for Brad Pfaff. They gave him the margins that he needed to potentially win the election. Now, the rural element of this region region does follow the patterns of rural elements elsewhere in Wisconsin and, frankly, elsewhere in the country where it is going more Republican. Dan, what's interesting about this is how the different candidates in the Republican Party are talking about education. You know, part of our district that makes it interesting is that we have a huge UW presence in our district. A ton of UW campuses in this part of the state, plus some other key college campuses. At the same time, it's a big agricultural district. And as Van Orden liked to point out during the campaign, a lot of our residents out here have not graduated from college. They don't have a four-year degree. So what you're seeing is educational polarization as well, just as you're seeing that urban-rural divide. So I think we are a bit of a microcosm of the changes that are happening elsewhere. Derek Van Orden really captures the cultural politics of the moment that have bought a lot of rural areas into the Republican fold. At the same time, we've seen folks like Robin Voss, the Republican Assembly Speaker in Wisconsin, fretting about the suburbs and talking about how the suburbs are a big problem spot for his area, for his party. So the geography of this state, the geography of this district are just really interesting. Urban areas continue to move more into the Democratic Party fold. Robin Voss is all worried about the suburbs. Meanwhile, Derek Van Orden is really benefiting from the cultural politics of the Trump era and how those bring more rural areas into the Republican fold.
We're talking to Anthony Chergosky of UW-La Crosse. He's going to be joining us for the next segment as well. We're talking about politics in Western Wisconsin. We have a presence here on civic media and in this part of the state. You know, I think it's important for us to really dive into what some of these issues are that are facing this district and this part of the state. And we're going to continue to talk about that into the next segment. I want to talk a little bit about the state legislative races that were happening out there. You may have known that I have some interest in what's going on in the state legislature. And I think in the state legislature, we saw some of the most competitive races anywhere in the state happen right around where you are in the La Crosse area. So we're going to get into that after the break. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. So light 'em up. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry. We are joined for this half hour of the show by Anthony Chergosky, political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. We've been talking a little bit about what's been happening or some of the election results in Western Wisconsin. And we talked a little bit about what was the results in the 3rd congressional district with Derek Van Orden winning that seat and Democrats really not investing in it. They've been criticized so often over the years for not investing in rural areas. And I think this is just such a missed opportunity for Democrats in this region. I think it's going to be just that much harder to win that seat back. It's going to continue to be a competitive seat in the state of Wisconsin. There's, you know, with perhaps the most competitive congressional seat going forward, but it's just going to be that much more difficult for Democrats to win this one back after Derek Van Orden won a closer than expected race. And so we've been talking a little bit about that. And I want to talk more, too, as well about some of the state legislative races, because, you know, I covered to a great extent the opportunity that Republicans had to gain a supermajority in the state legislature. The road to that was in many ways through La Crosse County. and what some other districts in western Wisconsin. So Democratic State Senator Jeff Smith won re-election to keep his seat in the state Senate, and incumbent Democrat Steve Doyle in La Crosse County also won re-election. It was a very close race for both of those. So what do those results say to you, Anthony, about the changing political winds in that part of the state?
I think you nailed it, Dan. It shows that this is a very competitive part of the state, and that if Democrats invest in this part of the state, then they're going to do well. I mean, Steve Doyle just had an ungodly amount of money that he spent on his reelection campaign. I live in his district, so believe me, I saw it with the mailers that I got and the yard signs and the outreach and even the TV ads. I mean, it's kind of crazy, like being bombarded with TV ads for one state assembly seat out of 99 in the state. But that's what happens when you have very few competitive districts and the potential for a veto-proof majority hinges on a handful of districts. So it's a classic example of a seat that the Democrats really feel good about, this Steve Doyle seat here in La Crosse County, because it is more of a suburban district. It's not the city of La Crosse. It's more the suburbs surrounding the city of La Crosse. And a big question, Dan, was if those types of areas would continue to move into the Democratic Party fold, given the gains that Democrats had made in the suburbs during the Trump years. And we know from the WOW counties, for example, in the Milwaukee area, that the Democrats certainly made substantial progress in some of these suburbs. Here in La Crosse County, there were signs that Democrats are at least holding on to some of the gains that they have made. So I think the signs were good for Democrats here in western Wisconsin, at least at the level of the state legislature. You noted that Jeff Smith beat Dave Estenson for the state Senate seat in more of the Eau Claire area, and then Doyle winning this key state assembly seat in the La Crosse region. So I think both of those are big successes for the Democrats, even as they completely flopped in the third congressional district and just completely dropped the ball, missed the signs that that was a competitive race. Clearly, the Democrats understood their path to victory in the Jeff Smith race and in the Steve Doyle race, some really key races in the state legislature.
Yeah, and another one that's kind of within that third district in Stevens Point, where Katrina Shanklin, she was another, kind of target from Republicans trying to flip that seat in that part of the state. And she actually wound up winning by a much bigger margin in 2022 than she did in 2020. So she, really a successful story for her there, winning by a 15-point margin when people thought there was an opportunity for Republicans to flip a seat there. You know, western Wisconsin, for whatever reason, I have spent less time there than any other part of the state. So I think it's important they're having you on so you can help educate me about what's going on. Yeah, I'm a Waukesha County native. I live in the city of Milwaukee. I went to college at UW-Oshkosh. For whatever reason, have not spent a whole lot of time in western Wisconsin. So, big picture, going forward, where do you expect this region politically to go?
I think it'll still have that independent spirit, Dan. I mean, one of the points of pride, in fact, for western Wisconsin has been that even in this era of highly divisive politics, even in this era of historic levels of polarization, western Wisconsin maintained its independent spirit. And we see that in these state legislative races. We see that in the congressional race. It was a big question that I had in mind as we were entering the 2022 cycle and going through the cycle. I was wondering if western Wisconsin would maintain that independent spirit, if candidates would matter in this region, or if we would just be like everywhere else and just vote the party line, right? I think for a long time, western Wisconsin has valued moderate candidates to a greater extent than some other parts of the country. It has valued independent thinking in vote choice to a greater extent than some other parts of the country. And the people here take great pride in that. And so I think that type of spirit is maybe under a bit of threat, given these broader forces in American society that are driving people to be more partisan, that are driving polarization. Yet I do think the independent spirit of western Wisconsin is still beating. It's taken some hits, but I think the heart of the independent spirit is still beating here in the region.
Yeah, that's such an interesting part of that. And you know, I'm having gone to college, UW-Oshkosh, I think there are some parallels there. You know, you have an independent spirit in some of those Fox Valley counties as well. I imagine we're going to be back here in 2024 talking about what are the most competitive state legislative races in Wisconsin? What are the most competitive congressional seats? Where are those swing counties? We're probably going to be talking about places like La Crosse County, places like those districts that we have been talking about as well. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us here on the program today.
Thanks so much, Dan. I appreciate it.
All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer, and we are through 2.5 hours of the show now. It went fast again, Jane. What happened?
It goes quick.
All right. We'll be right back.